As one of the better-known global luxury brands, Burberry is accustomed to setting the fashion world alight. But reports the British designer deliberately burned some $50 million worth of its own merchandise has critics fired up on social media. The company says it took action to prevent these goods from being stolen, copied, or sold cheaply. And apparently, this practice is quite common. Melinda Tuwali is the Australian and New Zealand coordinator for Fashion Revolution, a group which campaigns for greater sustainability and fairness in fashion. Melinda Tuwali, welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Now, Melinda, to many of us who struggle to pay the almost $3,000 that Burberry charges for its signature trench coat, this destruction seems quite shocking. Why have Burberry done this?
Oh, look, I think that, you know, and I think it's important to state that it's not just Burberry. This practice is quite systemic in the fashion industry, and brand IP is worth a lot of money. And I think, you know, not speaking on behalf of Burberry, but from Burberry's position and what they've discussed, it has been based on managing the reputation of the brand so that it's not diminished further. And it's a shame because they actually do have some other great environmental initiatives within their own supply chain, actually.
One critic on Twitter said Burberry would, quote, rather destroy their clothes than let them be worn by poor people, end of quote. Is that a fair comment?
Oh, look, I think, yeah, I have seen some of that dialogue, and I think the luxury sector, as I said, you know, they're looking to protect their reputation and the market that wears their brand. But I think that, you know, beyond that, the focus should really be on the alternatives and what can be done with all of that stock and, you know, all of the resources that have gone into it, and find a way for the industry to not be so afraid for a broader market to wear their items, and to actually, you know, you could send the message that our products are durable. We've designed them for longevity. They reflect, you know, a lot of work and craftsmanship. So we want more people to be wearing them.
That's the thing. I mean, presumably, when you buy a high-end item of clothing like that, you are buying fantastic materials and great workmanship. But this is saying no. You're buying exclusivity and the fact that nobody else can wear them unless you pay the big price tag, and everybody knows that you pay that big price tag, and that's how you've bought it.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's where the fashion industry has to take stock and look at, really, is there only value in that reputation, or can they start to reframe the value about the actual good itself and how long it lasts and how it can be enjoyed and appreciated?
You're asking them to totally rejig their economic model.
Also rejig back at the design, at the actual production stage, and look at customer appetite and whether the overproduction in itself is something. Because, you know, disposing of excess stock and overproduced stock actually comes at a cost. Even if they're using secure disposal, you know, they're not putting it in landfill because they have to protect it. That's a cost to a business. So I'd actually be revisiting the actual production model itself and saying, where are we overproducing? Are we meeting market demand? Are there other ways that we can actually reduce this volume so that we don't actually have to deal with it at the end at all? Because it's a waste of resources.
Now you mentioned IP and intellectual property and copyright. Well, one element of what was destroyed were beauty products, I think, since maybe, I'm not sure. And part of that might have been because Burberry changed suppliers. Mm. So there was, as I understand it, maybe an intellectual property issue as well here.
Yes, I think the new contract to the new supplier stipulated that any existing product had to be destroyed. And I think, you know, you just have to think, is that a really bad deal? Could somebody have said, actually, that's ridiculous. Can we sell through existing stock? Who knows? I mean, I obviously can't speak in any way, shape or form on behalf of them, but that seemed to be part of that new contract with that new supplier. And you just have to say, yeah, it's a terrible, terrible shame. It's a loss of, you know, when any product is destroyed, you're losing natural resources, let alone the time and the effort that have gone into making that. And they should be able to be enjoyed for the benefit of other people. And, you know, I've worked with brands that actually, and they're very well known, like the Burberry played, you know, design. It's recognised around the world. Other brands actually have decided that with some of their excess inventory, they're happy for their product to be resold in the charity sector because, you know, they stand by their product for lasting longer, and they don't sort of have an issue with various different markets wearing it. So I really do think it does come back to what the brand is the value they're placing on their product and how they can sort of look to re-communicate that.
Mm. Now, Melinda Tuwali, how much fashion is wasted globally or wantonly destroyed globally?
I think, you know, there's figures, I think 30% of what's produced ends up not even getting sold. So a lot of it doesn't even make it to the shop floor. Yeah, and that's sort of pre-consumer waste. Post-consumer waste, I think in the US they're discarding something over 13 million tonnes of textiles, and so much of that is exported to the developing world as well. So, you know, we're throwing out about 500,000 tonnes per year in Australia to landfill, 95% of which does not need to be there. Textiles can be reused, can be recycled, so... You know, we're now producing, it's a shocking stat, something like 150 billion garments a year. That's a fourfold increase in the last 20 years. So the appetite, it's sort of insatiable appetite. You know, we have to look at ourselves as well and our behaviour for driving that, not just the industry, the brand. You know, if we don't buy it, they don't make it entirely.
And it's kind of interesting because you have different economic models, people like Zara and H&M, which is kind of fast fashion, almost throwaway fashion. And then you've got these other players at the other end of the market, people like Burberry, who are talking about, you know, these kind of highly, highly expensive status symbols. But they both seem to be having or throwing up ethical issues around disposableness and waste.
Look, absolutely. I think, you know, sustainability is a really big issue at both ends of the industry, whether it's volume fashion, fast fashion, or the luxury sector. If you look at the actual, you know, at the factory stage, the production of it, water pollution is a huge issue. Chemical inputs, and that doesn't matter what factory you're in. You know, ultimately they're still using the same method of production. So it's certainly an issue that all areas of the industry are addressing. And I think, you know, those with the biggest names have the biggest reputations at stake. And I think that now it's uncommon to find any major brand that's not addressing these issues, because they realise that, you know, we are in the world of transparency now, as we've seen with this news take off around the world. They have to be doing something to address the impact of their supply chains. They are part of the fifth largest polluting industry in the world. So
the fifth largest polluting industry in the world too. Melinda Tuwali, thank you. A very interesting conversation.
That's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Melinda Tuwali is the Australian and New Zealand coordinator for Fashion Revolution, an organisation which campaigns for greater sustainability and fairness in fashion.